Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. This is the day that we will begin this class session by reading from the Rock Cliff Review, the bulletin that we pass out at the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff on Sunday mornings, which contains in its feature article a synopsis of the sermon that is preached. And you can then come read the bulletin, listen to the sermon, and take some notes of it home in that bulletin. And this particular Sunday, the sermon was Tribulation or Rest When Jesus Comes. This is what was in the bulletin that Sunday. The saints in Thessalonica were enduring persecution and tribulation. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4. Paul said it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that troubled you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. 2 Thessalonians 2, 6 through 7. Note that the word rest is a noun, like the word tribulation. This is a recompense of tribulation to the troublers, and a recompense of rest to the troubled. The recompense would come when the Lord Jesus would be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. Paul had warned of the tribulation when telling the Thessalonians to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. Paul wrote of rest when he said, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of righteousness, our crown of rejoicing, are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" 1 Thessalonians 2:19. He wrote of rest again, saying, "To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ will all his saints," 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. Paul continued to speak of rest, saying, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. Paul wrote of both tribulation and rest in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 11. When he said, "The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we be awake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also you do." He brought his first letter to a close, reminding them again of rest, saying, "I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. In his second letter, Paul described the nature of the tribulation. "The Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Then he described the rest, saying, he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 10. The tribulation was the wrath to come, the sudden destruction, the travail, the flaming fire, the vengeance, the punishment, and the everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. The rest was the deliverance, the hope, the joy, the crown of rejoicing, being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, being unblameable in holiness before God, being caught up together in the clouds to ever be with the Lord, the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, our life together with Him, and seeing Him glorified and admired. The tribulation is for those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8. And therefore the rest is for those who know God, obey the gospel, and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11. So that was the reading from the Rockcliffe Review that morning, and that was the gist of the sermon that followed. Now we read from the Rockcliffe Review because the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliffe. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliffe, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. And now we want to return to the Sunday school lesson and the notes on that lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of November the 2nd, 1924. It is a lesson on the prodigal son, and we have seen the sad state to which this prodigal had brought himself. He would not repent. And all of this was discouraging unto him and bringing him down. He was trying to satisfy his soul on the pleasures of sin, and he wound up feeding on the husk for the swine. We read in Luke 15 and verse 17, that when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? And I perish here with hunger." He had been like one delirious or intoxicated, mad and foolish. But he came to himself. His senses returned. Starvation stared him in the face. To go further was utter destruction. All this cooled his passions and brought him to his right mind. His reason again asserted itself. And he said his father's many hired servants had bread enough and to spare, while he was perishing with hunger. Sin entices, fascinates, and infatuates, and worldly honors promise much, but he who feeds on them will certainly die of hunger. All persons must come to themselves sooner or later, or they'll never amount to anything in life or be saved in the life to come. And so the prodigal repented. We read in Luke chapter 15 and verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight." In his sober, better judgment, he repented and determined to return to his father. Repentance is a change of purpose, a change of heart, which leads to a change of life. godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. This prodigal furnishes a fine illustration of repentance. First, he is honest with himself and with his father. He did not conceal the fact that he had done wrong. He determined to confess his sin frankly and freely. He who conceals his sin or refuses to confess them has not repented. A penitent is ashamed of his sins, but he is not ashamed to confess them. These publicans and sinners confess they had wandered away from God and were sinners. They came to Jesus for his love and blessings and pardon. David confessed his sins freely. In 2 Samuel 12:13, those whom John baptized confessed their sins in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 6. Many of whom were publicans and harlots, Matthew chapter 21:32 and Luke 7:29-30. And we must confess our sins. In James 5:16 we read, "Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray for one another, that ye may be healed." In 1 John 1 and verse 9 we read, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Luke 15:19 through 20 read, where the prodigal son said, "I will arise and go to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was yet afar off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." This prodigal confessed that he had sinned first against heaven and then against his father. And so he had all sin is a violation of God's commandments and a sin against him. Like the prodigal, the penitent confesses any wrong he may have done to others. Please remember this. He never blamed another for his sins. He never even laid them to his own weakness. He said frankly, "I have sinned." He made no excuse. Another element of repentance is a feeling and an acknowledgement of unworthiness. "I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote his breast, saying, "God, be thou merciful to me, a sinner." And we read that this publican went down to his house justified rather than the self-righteous Pharisee. Luke 18:13 and 14. "Jehovah is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as are of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34 and verse 18. And we read of the Father's joy. The prodigal put his resolution into action and turned away from his disobedience and sin and went to his father. This the sinner must do. In God's house are innumerable blessings, soul food and raiment to wear. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16 and verse 11. God's love and heaven are great inducements to repentance, while solemn warnings come from the regions of sin and perdition. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Jehovah, and he will have mercy on him, and our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. This boy went away trusting himself, but he returned distrusting himself and trusting the love of his father.